wearing a mask along with you, it's not going to be so bad. But I want to talk today not about wearing a physical mask, but I want to talk about some of the other masks that we wear in life. And these might be, not all the time perhaps. Perhaps only to a certain degree we wear masks, but these may be spiritual masks or relational masks or emotional masks. And what happens to you and I, sometimes is consciously or unconsciously, we often present to the world just the things that we want the world to see. Can anyone else identify with this? This is kind of true sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes there's things that we're going through, things that we're feeling, and maybe we're not too excited about it. We're not doing so well, but we don't always show that. Sometimes we hide that from each other. And I was thinking about this dynamic of wearing a mask, and I think it could be even true, maybe especially true, even in the household of faith, because what do we believe at Solid Rock Church? We believe that God's called us to live in victory, right? We believe that, our mission statement has the words free, full, and overflowing. But sometimes we don't feel very free. Sometimes the needle feels like it's pointing a little bit more towards empty than full. And sometimes, it's not always, every day is not a mountaintop experience. And if we're really being real, we're like, well, I don't feel totally overflowing today, right? But then we're part of the household of faith. And so can we talk about that, right? Because we believe in the power of confession. And the Bible says in the book of Romans to call things that are not as though they are. It doesn't say to call the things that are as though they are not. And so, well, should I even be talking about that? Should I even admit to anyone that I'm having these thoughts or going through some of these things? And so what can happen sometimes is we put up a front and we put up a little bit of a facade, or we're not always real with each other. Now, there's a flip side of it, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I don't want to start off with a real dark introduction. The opposite. We don't. That's not right either, right? It wouldn't be good for you or I to come into the door and the greeting team says, "Hey, how are you, Pastor Cam?" And I say, "Oh, just having a terrible week. Just like just like load all my problems on them right there on the spot." Well, that's the whole other direction, is it? And so there's a balance that needs to be there. But, this thought process that I've talked about, where sometimes we go through things in life and, we kind of cover it up a little bit, that's a human response, right? And so I'm probably not the only one who's ever done that. I'm probably not the only person in this room who thinks that way. And there's probably a good likelihood you can identify with what I just described. There's potential for you and I to live our entire lives. If we're not careful, there's potential for you and I to live our lives behind a spiritual mask that can hide who we really are and who we're going through. And it's not healthy for us, it's not healthy for others around us, and it's really not healthy for our relationship with the Lord. And the truth is, we can go to church, we can come early for coffee time, we can be part of a ministry team, we can go up and get prayed for after church, and maybe we even attend a connect group midweek. We can do all those things. But if we don't choose to reveal who we really are and the person behind the mask, then we miss out on authentic relationships. We miss out on really connecting with each other and knowing who each other are and living in authentic community. And see, what we've been talking about, living behind a mask, that's a form of self-protection, isn't it? And there's a lot of reasons why we could talk about why you and I might want to do that or might feel inclined to do that, to live behind a mask and kind of put on a front. And we're not doing a deep dive into all those reasons today. Truth is, I'm not at all a therapist. This isn't group therapy. But we're gonna get into God's Word, and we're gonna see what God's Word says about some of these things. Because the opposite of self-protection and self-preservation is authenticity and just being open and vulnerable with each other. And I believe the scripture shows us a lot about that. We can get banged up in life, right? It's if we're really being honest, if we're being truth, it's possible that we can get banged up. But we have an enemy. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, of course, we have the armor of God, and we have the Word of God, and we have the blood of Jesus, and we have the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. We have all these weapons and defense systems that the Lord has given us against the enemy. But we have an adversary, the enemy, who's very active and very motivated to ding us up and to bring us down. He's trying to do that all the time. And so sometimes our armor can get dinged up, and sometimes we can get some bumps and bruises. And then we have an opportunity. Are we going to yield to that? Are we going to let that bring us down? Or are we going to be open to that and perhaps engage in the authentic community that Christ has brought us into? And so we can, you know, from an intellectual standpoint, we could look at all the reasons and we could do all of that. The bottom line is we need a healer, and the answer is always Jesus. We need a healer, and the answer is always Jesus. He is the healer. And so, you know, in spite of root causes behind the behaviors that we exhibit in life, the answer is always Jesus. And I was thinking about this, that even like just a moment in the presence of Jesus, the Anointed One, can do so much more for us than even a lifetime of therapy. Just a moment in the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Like we sang about this morning, how we serve a way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who heals every heart. He mends every heart. Amen. In worship, singing those words, you can experience healing far greater than any counseling or whatever might come. If you're willing to open yourself up to the healer and say, Lord, work in my life. Do a work in me like no other. So the opposite of self-protection is authenticity. An authentic relationship is one where each person or each party knows the other party in that relationship. I can know someone else and I can know a lot about them. For example, I can know lots about a celebrity. Let's say there's someone I'm really interested in. Maybe they're, you know, like if I like motocross, I can be really fixated on a motocross rider. I'm thinking about motocross because Christian's been riding the motocross bike a lot this last week. So let's say I'm really interested in a motocross rider. I can know a lot about them, but if they don't know me, there's no relationship there at all, right? An authentic relationship requires each party or each person to know each other. They need to be known by each other. And so authentic relationship requires two-way interaction, two-way communication. It's brave, and it's authentic, and it's real. It doesn't come by speaking and only listening. It doesn't come by listening and only speaking. Requires both parties to engage in this relationship that becomes real and relevant. I'm going to have some scriptures too. Some of you are probably thinking, Pastor Cam has talked for 10 minutes. He hasn't shared a scripture. It's coming right now. You know, the amazing thing about this is that Jesus initiated relationship with us, right? Jesus came to us first. He came to earth to reveal the Father to us. And so we're going to look at the relationship between us and our Heavenly Father, and I want to show you how God came first. He initiated this relationship, and in doing that, he demonstrated a desire for authentic relationship, real relationship with you and I. In John 17:25, this is Jesus speaking. He says, he's praying. He says, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. So all that Jesus did on earth, part of his mission and his mandate was to reveal God the Father to us and to show us that it's God's will to be known by mankind. God is not willing that anyone should perish. He does not want to remain hidden and to remain, you know, for have the secret of salvation, sorry, the miracle of salvation for it to be hidden and for it to be a secret. He wants the whole world to know of his goodness. He wants the whole world to know of the fact that he sent Jesus to redeem us and bring him back to himself. And what is the foundation of that? The foundation of that is God's desire to have a relationship with his people. Sin gets in the way of relationship, right? We learn that when we first come to Christ, that sin is blocking our relationship with God. It's getting in the way. But when we accept what Jesus did for us, when we accept that the blood of Jesus purchased our righteousness, then a way is made for us, a way is made for us, and we get to realize it in our own lives that we can have now, we can have relationship with our Heavenly Father. And God desires to have relationship, authentic relationship with those he's created. So Jesus testified to this, but who else testifies this? Well, the Holy Spirit testifies this. A couple chapters earlier in John 15, this is Jesus speaking again. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify of me. So Jesus was all about revealing the Father, revealing the will of the Father, only speaking what the Father told him to say. But the Holy Spirit also testifies of the Father. Amen? The Holy Spirit also has a mission to reveal our Heavenly Father to us, to show us more about the Godhead and more about this wonderful God that we serve. So we have the life and ministry of Jesus. We have the indwelling and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But there's more than that. We actually have the entirety of God's Word that reveals to us the will of God the Father, that speaks to His character and His nature and His goodness and His desire to love mankind and to see them reconciled to Himself. So we have not just a few scriptures here and there, but all the gospel, the entirety of God's Word. This is a testament of God's will and His desire to have authentic relationship with mankind. It's the core of God's plan of redemption. In Hebrews 10, verse 19, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Have you ever made a visit to someone's house? Maybe it was a surprise visit. Let's say you wanted to drop something off. I can think of a few times where we've brought chocolates and Christmas cards to our neighbors, for example, in Pretty Valley there. But maybe you had a different reason to kind of do a surprise visit to someone's house. But you've ever been to someone's house, maybe where they didn't know you were coming, and you got the sense that they really didn't want to invite you into the house? Anyone else ever experienced this? I've experienced this. I kind of chuckle when I think of it. I think of one particular family that we brought a gift to one year, and the first year we just talked through an open door. So it's like December the 20th, let's say, and Candace and I are outside, and they crack open the door about like that much, and then we talk for 3 or 4 minutes through the open door. I'm thinking, okay, well, this is whatever, you know, be nice and wish them a Merry Christmas and bless them. Well, the next year we got invited into the porch, you know, so we brought a gift, we brought the chocolates, they, oh, come on in. And so we stood in the porch, we visited for like 20 minutes this time. So I'm not sure what's going to happen this year. We'll have to see. Maybe we'll get to sit down at the kitchen table to have coffee. I don't know. But the truth is that sometimes we make a surprise visit to someone's house, we might get the sense that they don't necessarily want us to come in, or they're unsure. Well, here's the thing with Jesus. He's the high priest of God's house, and we don't have to stand outside talking through an open door. We don't have to just sit in the porch and kind of like, this isn't the normal place where people visit, but okay, you know. What does the word say in Hebrews? It says, we've been invited into the most special room in the house. We've been invited into the most high place, the Holy of Holies. That speaks to God's desire to welcome us into His kingdom, welcome us into His house, into the most special place He has, which is His throne room. Amen? And Jesus is seated there, and Jesus says, hey, I've been honored. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Come down. Sit with me. Sit right here, right beside me. Amen? That's encouraging for you and I. That means we're not on the outs. We serve a God who desires to have authentic, real relationship with us. He's not superficial. He's not trying to hide something from us. He's not trying to let's just have an arm's length relationship. Let's just kind of chat every once in a while, and I don't really want to show you my place and what I have. No, He wants to show us everything He has, because all that He has is ours through Jesus. Amen? All that Jesus has done for us reveals the Father's desire for authentic relationship with His children. But truly authentic relationship, again, truly authentic relationship requires both parties to be known by each other. And the interesting thing is, when we come to Christ, one of the things we can do is, well, it's just my desire to know God more. And Lord, I want to know You greater. And we often, at least for myself, many times I've prayed that way. Lord, I want to know You. I want You to be revealed in my life. But you know that God has a desire to know you as well. It's not just about you knowing him. This is an interesting scripture. This is Psalms 139, verses 1 to 4. Go ahead and put that up there, Kylie. And this is a psalm of David, and he starts off by writing, Lord, you've examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I say before I'm going to say it, Lord. So David is saying, Lord, you got me. You know everything about me. But real relationship with God is not just us knowing God, but God knowing us. Real relationship asks of us that we become known of God. And you might think, okay, well, in the context of those verses that you read, Pastor Cam, God does know me. He knows everything about me. And David confirms that. It's true that God does know everything about us. He knows who you are. He knows how you're feeling. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows if there's anything in your life that's causing you pain. And he knows what you might be trying to hide from him and what you might be trying to hide from everyone else. So if God knows everything about us, what does it mean to be known by God? Well, I thought of this example. Have you had ever a situation in your life or time in your life where someone that you know has come to you and they've shared just a deep part of themselves? Maybe they've shared just an intimate secret or something that they're going with, and they've just decided to become vulnerable with you and share what they're going through. Now compare the power of that moment to if you had found out about that thing just by accident or from someone else secondhand. What a difference, right? What a difference when that person comes to you and says, you know what, I trust you and I care about you and I want you to know what I'm going through and here's what I'm going through. There's so much more power and authenticity in that moment than just finding out by coffee shop gossip that this person's having some struggles in their life, right? That is the difference between God knowing us and us being known by God. There's absolutely no comparison. It's so much more powerful to have your friend entrust their secret to you than finding it out some other way. The shared knowledge of their vulnerability draws the two of you together in a unique way. And so to be known by God means that you bring things before him that he already knows. You're willing to reveal things to him that are already known to him. And that vulnerability and that openness can draw you closer. Amen? There's a principle here in regards to intimacy with God. James 4:8, get this. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't that interesting? Because we would think, well, I mean, God's heart is for us. He came first. He sent his son. The Bible says that, you know, he loved us first. Absolutely, he did. But anytime we want, as a response to God, anytime that we're willing to come to him and draw near to him and open up to him, guess what? He becomes greater in our lives. He becomes more real, more significant. He becomes closer to us just by virtue of the fact that we've come closer to him. And this is why we're talking about masks today, because there's a cost sometimes to the masks that we wear. And one of the very real costs of the masks that we wear is that masks that we wear in our own mind can prevent us from pursuing real intimacy with Jesus. And we don't have time today to talk about all the ways that that might be, that there might be doubts and misgivings we have, or the enemy can try and feed us thoughts that we'll be judged. And that, you know, that somehow that the Lord won't, you know, if we talk to him about the things that are deep in our heart, the deep things that we're going through, that maybe he won't see us the same way. And maybe the blood of Jesus somehow won't be enough to cover that thing if we talk about it. So let's just not talk about it. That's just a lie from the enemy. That's just a trick of the enemy to keep us from intimacy, to keep us from authentic relationship with Jesus. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. More of God's love and kindness becomes real and known to us when we show him the things he already knows about us. Amen? That's the difference between knowing someone and being known by them. And someone knowing things about us or us being willing to reveal and show those things to us. And it's interesting because we already talked about the fact that King David wrote these words in Psalm 139, and he starts off Psalm 139 just by laying it all out there and said, Lord, you know everything about me. There's nothing that I have that's hidden from you. But look at how David ends this psalm. So this is verse 23 now. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David was a man after God's own heart, and he understood this relational dynamic. And so even though he's already said, Lord, you know everything about me, he ends that psalm by saying, Lord, search me and know me, and point out anything in my life that doesn't line up with your will for me. Anything in my life that offends you. Anything in my life that is not your desire for me to be, have or experience. Any part of my nature, any part of my personality, any part of who I am that's not of you, Lord. Point it out so I can change it, so I can become more like you. It wasn't enough for David just to know God. He desired to be known by God. You know, and as we draw close to Jesus, it's my firm belief that we're unable to stay unchanged in his presence. You can't spend time with Jesus. You can't spend time in his presence, in that throne room, in that special place where we have free access because of the blood of Jesus. You can't spend any amount of time there and remain the same. We're changed in God's presence in the throne room. And what starts to happen is, you know, we already know that we become like the ones we spend time with, right? This happens on a very human level. If you spend a ton of time with me, I don't know, maybe you start to like some of the things that I like and laugh at some of the jokes I make, and, you know, we develop more rapport. You might even become a little bit more like me, or vice versa, right? You become like the people you spend time with. Their priorities and their values tend to become your priorities and your values. I've spoken about this before, but I got this thing where if I go to some place and people speak with an accent, it's not long and I speak with an accent. If I was to take Eckhart and Katarina up on an invitation to go to Germany for 2 or 3 weeks, I'd come back and be like, what happened to Pastor Cam? I'd have to hear English spoken with a German accent a whole lot more. I guess that would have to be like the southern U.S., for example. You know, that's happened to me a few times. We become like those we spend time with. We take on their characteristics, their values, and their priorities. And so when we get into the throne room, when we spend time with Jesus, when we're willing to draw near and have Jesus draw near to us, we become like Jesus. What happens? Healing happens in that place. Wholeness happens in that place, because the answer is always Jesus. Amen? You can say amen. It's okay. You don't have to hold back. We started off by talking about the mask that we wear and the brave face that we sometimes put on in life, and this image that we present to the world around us. You know, all these things that we've talked about with God, the fact, you know, it's so important not to just know God, but be known by him. Well, this is all true in our human relationships as well. This is how authentic relationship is developed. Just to not to know people, but to be willing to be known by them. And that takes courage, takes vulnerability, it takes trust, it takes a lot of things. If we're not going to be just know others, but if we're going to be known by them. But that's when true relationship happens. That's when authentic relationship happens, when each of you is known by the other. But there's powerful healing, I believe, and powerful fulfillment that comes in that. And that's one of the things that we want to be known for at Solid Rock Church. It's not, you know, are we people of faith? Absolutely. But we're also authentic, right? We don't put on a facade, right? We don't, you know, we're real with each other. We share what we're going through. In at the right time, in the right place, with wisdom, as the Holy Spirit shows us, right? We're real with each other. You know what? When we're real with each other, do you know that we can bring healing and wholeness to each other? In the same way that when we spend time with the Lord, and there's healing and wholeness that comes in his presence, if you have the Spirit of God inside you, and you're willing to engage in authentic, real relationship with other people, and your desire is to love on them and to bring as much of Jesus with you as you can. Do you know that healing and wholeness can happen as the two of you spend time together? Check this out. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Now, there's several angles, there's several directions that we could take with this scripture. Have you ever wondered, though, why when we're talking about the effective prayer of a righteous man, James in this case starts that verse with saying, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed." Am I the only person that's ever kind of struck me as odd sometimes? Like, I wonder why that's all in the same verse there. It seems to me like that could be two different verses, or maybe like in a chapter apart or something like that. Well, first of all, how are you going to know what to pray for if you're not vulnerable and open with each other? If you have a need in your life and you're needing someone to stand with you in faith, you have to tell someone about that, first of all, right? And yes, absolutely, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. But you know what helps me to be earnest, for example, if I'm aware of a prayer need? If I know you. If I know you and I have a relationship with you, and if we're connected, and if we have real, authentic relationship, man, if I hear about something that you're going through, I want to get on my knees. I want to take it before the Father. I want to declare the Word of God over your life. I want to declare manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stand with you in faith and be one of those two or three that are gathered together, holding your hand, agreeing with the Word of God, confessing the Word of God over your life. I'm earnest because I know you and we have real, authentic relationship. It's much easier to be earnest when we're in relationship with each other. And maybe there may be times where the Lord prompts you to walk in His example and go first and be open first and share of yourself first. This is one of the things that we talk about. This is no secret sauce. This is one of the things that we talk about with our Connect group leaders, for example, because, you know, the Connect groups that we have in our church, those are great opportunities to be a little bit more open and real with each other. You know, when you're in a group of 6 or 8 or 10 people gathered in someone's kitchen or gathered in someone's living room, that's a lot more of an environment where we can kind of just share a little bit what we're going through. You know, there's room for that. There's more opportunity for that in a Connect group than there is when, you know, 70 or 80 of us are gathered here on a Sunday morning, right? You guys recognize that? And so that's one of the powerful reasons that we have Connect groups, is we want to create those opportunities to build those connections and to engage in those relationships. But, you know, we tell our Connect group leaders this. We say, you know what, do you want to facilitate real conversation rather than just, you know, talking about how's your day and how's the weather and, you know, this and that? When it gets, after you spend time studying God's Word and you kind of learn, you know, maybe you've heard a teaching or you've gone through some scriptures or whatever and you want to discuss it, one of the ways that you can take the whole, you know, the conversation to a whole nother level as a leader is to be vulnerable, to be open about your own experiences and what you're going through, and maybe how that verse has helped you in a difficult time, or, you know, share a testimony, a story of God's faithfulness in your life in that particular area. Well, we're all called to lead in our relationships in one way or another. We're all leaders in some sense. And so maybe God is calling you to be that person, to go to someone else and share some of who you are and what you're going through. And, you know, and it's, we're looking to Jesus who did this. He revealed the Father to us, you know, the Jesus and the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead. They took the initiative to reveal God the Father to us. And we're just following their examples when we do that. When we are willing to show who we are bringing Jesus to others. And we are building authentic, real relationships. Let's go ahead and stand. I have one more scripture for you that I believe just ties in and confirms with what we've been talking about this morning. This is Romans 12, verses 9 to 16. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. I hadn't read these verses from this translation till last night. But verse 9 says, "Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that's good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo each other in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot, and radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. And let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in times of trouble, but commune with God with all times. What is this verse talking about? It's talking about transformed relationships, authentic, real relationships. It's talking about people who know Jesus and they're known by Him, and the healing and wholeness that comes through a real relationship with Jesus moves to the other relationships around them. Amen? And so what's the first thing that we want to do? The first thing you want to do is you want to get into the throne room. If you have a desire in your heart to not need those masks any longer, to not have to live that way, you know, it's not God's desire that people come into church and all they see is that the pews filled with the walking wounded. It's healing that the Lord desires for us. It's wholeness that the Lord desires for us. And so, you know, I'm not saying let's rip off the mask and then all stand aghast at each other. Really? That's what you're like? No, what I'm saying is let's go into the throne room of the One who wants to welcome us into His presence so that we can receive healing and wholeness. And so it doesn't just stop there, but we're healed and whole to the point where we can take that to others. We're willing to take what the Father has given us and bring it to the hurting world around us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You how, Lord, I believe that You're speaking even this morning, Lord, about the mask we wear and some of the ways, Lord, that we might choose to present ourselves to the world around us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, first of all, that You give us courage to come into Your throne room, because when we know Jesus, we have access into the most special room in the house, the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the throne room of God Most High. We thank You, Lord, that in Your presence, we don't stay the same. We are unable to remain unchanged, Lord. And so for every person here, Lord, and it's probably every person in this room that needs more healing, Lord, that there's places in Your life where You desire to, places in our lives where You desire to bring wholeness, Lord. We thank You that You give us the courage to bear ourselves to You, Lord, and say, Lord, it's not only my desire to know You more, Lord, but it's my desire to be known by You more, Lord. Here's who I am. Even though You know everything about me, all that I am, all that I say, all that I think, all that I do, all that I've done, Lord, here I am. Search me. Know me. Reveal anything in my life that may offend You. Lord, we thank You that as we do this, as we spend time with You, Lord, we don't stay the same, Lord. We thank You for the healing and wholeness that comes into Your presence. So I speak that over Solid Rock Church right now, Lord, that we are a people that just doesn't know, we don't just know Jesus, but we are known by Him. We are marked by the fact that we are known by our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank You that You give us as well the power to engage in authentic, real relationships with each other. It's not about dumping our junk on each other, but it's about going and being willing to show who we are, what we're going through, and then encouraging each other. The Bible says, encourage each other as there's still day, as while we have the opportunity, tie into a household of faith, tie into a family of believers that God has brought together to encourage each other, Lord. And so, Lord, everyone in this room, Lord, we draw them in the Spirit. We say, You're welcome in this place. This is your family. This is your safe place. This is the people that God has brought you to. And these are the ones who the Lord desires you to have authentic, real relationship with. Lord, so we thank You that we do all this by the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You instruct us with the Word, You instruct us through the ministry of Jesus, and You continue to speak and teach us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He indwells within us. Lord, as we go forward this week, Lord, we thank You that we just have the incredible good news that Jesus is alive, that He desires to bring us into relationship with the Father, Lord. And so we ask for a fresh impartation this week to take that good news to the world around us. We declare divine opportunities. We declare the favor of God. We declare just Holy Spirit-inspired courage to share the Word of God, to share the light and love of Jesus with the world around us that desperately needs to hear that there is a Savior who loves them and there is a God who desires to have real relationship with them. So we thank you that you give us courage. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to be free, full, and overflowing with the message of your love to those around us. We ask and believe all these things, declaring them in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us at Solid Rock Church. We look forward to seeing you next week. I'm going to work on smiling with my eyes. You can do the same thing as well. So get that mask on and see if you can start pulling your eyes up a little bit at the corner or draw a smile on your mask or do what you got to do. We look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.